Blog Talk Radio. Afternoon from sunny Southern California. This is Gail Sylvia, the host of SylviaGlobal.com. Joining me again today is the incredible confidant and coach, Marcia Nelson, and she is going to reverse roles with me, and today she is conducting the conversation with me, Gail Sylvia, regarding Sylvia Global and other projects around the world that I am involved with. Marcia, thank you for being here.
My pleasure, as always. I love talking with you.
Oh, I'm turning the mic over to you and following your lead. Take it from here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What I would like to talk about today is the organization Girls Fly. Every time I look at that website, girlsfly.org, there's one word that I feel, energized.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me that it's captures the excitement of doing things, do big things, and dreaming big, and learning, and having experts there to really inspire and motivate and have fun with girls around their potential and their dreams. And I just find that very, very energizing and exciting. So I would like us to talk about that. I want to understand more about it. And why don't you first just start with, what's your synopsis of Girls Fly? What is it for you? And then we'll have more specific questions.
Girls Fly is how I live my life. And it represents the many facets of who I am, and my personal life experiences, the influences on my life, and the wonderful, wonderful people that helped me along the way in this journey of living. It began, as many things that I've done and that I'm doing, it began as a response to a question and an observation on just a day-to-day life experience. In this case, Girls Fly was that event evolved from some things that I was doing with women and girls of all ages, just on a personal level of connecting with them. Specifically, we had moved to a new neighborhood in Oro Valley, Arizona, and had these wonderful neighbors. There were only 8 houses on that street. All of them were brand new, and we were new to the state and to the community. And at the cul-de-sac that we lived in, there were only 2.5 houses. The day that the movers were unloading our furniture, a lady came over from next door and had this wonderful Irish lilt in her voice, and she came and introduced herself, welcoming us, and said that by introduction, said that she wanted to bring this freshly baked pumpkin bread to welcome us to the neighborhood and to make apologies up front that she has 4 children and she hoped they wouldn't be too loud for us. And my immediate reaction was, great, we love kids. And we love the diversity of neighborhoods in terms of generations and people. And that neighborhood was so small. We were really concerned about that. So she actually was knocking on the door, delivering an answer to a prayer. What eventually happened was that 3 of the 4 children were girls. And they would spend quite a bit of time, especially the 2 younger ones, spend quite a bit of time with us and with me, and we'd walk our dogs and we'd talk about books that they were reading and things happening at school and boys that they wish were boyfriends, and just spending time together. We would read fairy tales together, some of my favorite fairy tales, while after they'd go swimming. And we got into a conversation about their dreams, you know, what they dreamed of doing with their lives based on the stories, especially that they were reading. Well, those conversations, Marcia, weren't very different in many ways from the conversation that I was having with some young ladies in their 30s who had heard me speak. And they were all professional women, in this case, many of them engineers at Raytheon. And they still had these dreams that they had aspired to experiencing more of life. And it was at one point a dream that got them to where they were at that stage in their career and in their lives, but they still had more dreams. Well, it turned out that that conversation wasn't very different from those that I had with women. I was working on some elected officials' campaigns, meeting people in the community. They weren't very different from conversations over coffee about that were coming from women in their, you know, their 50s, 60s, and 70s. There was still this element of, I dream for a better world, which is why we were working on the campaign, you know, or I dream that one day I would run for office, and one of the candidates was. You know, their dream. And I would start asking the same types of questions. You know, well, why are you putting it in a past tense, or do you still believe it's possible? So the Girls Fly is reflective of that girl voice, that little girl voice inside of all of us, no matter what age we are, that has these dreams that we want to touch and experience that would help round out the fullness of our life. And so back to Emily and Hannah and some other girls, eventually I meet wonderful people everywhere I go. So there was a sleepover at my house with about 8 girls, ranging from 8 to 15. And that was an impromptu sleepover because one young lady that I met through her father, who was a professor, ended up going to Japan, and reluctantly, while her dad was on sabbatical. And I had encouraged him to let me make contact with her before she left, because I could, having lived and studied there, I could definitely point him to some places that she would be so drawn to she would not want to come back. And that ended up happening. And I promised her when she returned that we would go on the sushi scavenger hunt around Tucson. Well, in honoring that, I invited these other young ladies. They did not know one another. And I ended up inviting all age groups, you know, the 8-year-old to the 65-year-old. And during one of the courses of dinner on this scavenger hunt, I asked the question, you know, what do you dream of? You know what happened, Marcia?
What?
Every girl that was under high school age and under could immediately answer that question. The older the lady was, the more distant her connection, her belief, and her ability to answer the question. I had no idea that this would touch such a sensitive part of someone's being. And so, as an example, what happened, Hannah, who's really vivacious, said she dreamed of being a singer and dancer on Broadway. She's very theatrical. She should be on stage in Broadway. Everyone can see it. It's there. Just nurture it, feed it. She'll be there. Her name will be in lights. Well, sitting right next to her was another lady, Jennifer, who's 41. Asked her, you know, everybody's asking, "What, Jennifer? What's your, you know, what do you dream of, you know, doing?" And she got teary-eyed, and she said, "I don't know." She said, "Can you come back to me?" And so we went to the next person, and they knew the answer. And next person, younger girl, knew the answer. Next older lady, same response. You know, like, wow, nobody's asked me that in a while. So we went back to Jennifer, and I reworded the question, and I said, "When you were Hannah's age, what did you dream of doing?" And she immediately answered. And her face lit up, she dried her eyes, her eyes had this small glimmer in it that was not there before, and it was not from the tears. She said, "I too had dreamed of singing on Broadway." And those two had connected so quickly that night that everybody was saying, well, Jennifer and Hannah, you guys are going to sit together when we get to the next restaurant. And here was this reflection of her dreams from her, that had been so suppressed through her corporate career development, that that girl voice inside of her triggered something. So the next day, the young girls that spent the night, we went to a tea house. And at the tea house, I said, you know, we shouldn't take things for granted, like that wonderful fun we had last night and what we're doing. How can we share this with others and encourage them to dream? And it was that conversation. It's like, well, I have a friend that always wanted to be a pilot. I wish she could meet somebody that was a pilot. You know, but the problem is she has a limp in her leg, so she doesn't think she'll ever be able to fly. That's why we ended up inviting Jessica, who has no arms and no legs and is a licensed pilot. And so the only connection between those 608 attendees that day on May 7th, 2011, when I test ran that program, Girls Fly, the only connection was the registration was built around the question, all my life I've always dreamed of doing, of these four categories, this. So when women came from across the state and from out of state for Girls Fly, they came and united that day, bonded instantly around a dream. You know, not around social status, not around what someone was driving or what someone was wearing or what school they went to or how old they were or what part of the neighborhood they were from. It was around this ability and this opportunity to make their personal dream come true, at least get the tools and refuel the belief that it could come true. And that's Girls Fly.
And what's the age range of those who attend the event?
Originally, originally we were looking at, 15 to on up. We had that day, there was an 8-year-old that was registered. I did meet a 5 and a 6-year-old that did come, but I know officially registered was an 8-year-old, and the oldest person that I met that afternoon was 84.
Mm. So it's for the girl who is chronologically a girl and the girl that's still living with unlived dreams inside every woman.
That's exactly it. Beautiful. You said it perfectly.
Tell me a little about how it is actually structured. So is it a one-day event?
It is a one-day event. And again, that particular first run was just a test run. You know, let's give this a go and see what kind of response we get. It is a one-day event where attendees sign up based on those four categories that are on the sylviaglobal.com website. They click on Girls Fly, and they'll see the categories range from there's equestrian, there's pilot. So let's take the pilot. A woman might say she's always dreamed of being a pilot. And in the case of two attendees, a grandmother with her granddaughter, this lady was 64 years old, received a very emotional email from her at registration time, and then I did have the pleasure and honor to meet both of them that day. The grandmother had always aspired to be a pilot, and unfortunately, each time she would meet a pilot and try to get information at a younger age how to do this, the place that she thought the most encouragement would come from, other female pilots, turned out to be discouraging her because they would tell her, oh, it's really expensive, and they would make assumptions that, people sometimes do that's not their place, and they ended up discouraging her. Well, somehow this dream never left her, and her granddaughter eventually internalizes the dream as well to make it happen for her grandmother. And I did something similar when I went to Switzerland as a high school student, knowing that my mother had always wanted to do that. So when Girls Fly presented itself, the grandmother and her granddaughter registered. They drove out 2.5 hours, and lo and behold, what do? They not only met private pilots who fly for recreation. They also met commercial pilots, all women, from United Airlines, Southwest Airlines, and they met local pilots. And they went up and flew the plane. And because their registration was based on wanting to be a pilot, then we were able to make sure we had enough pilots and planes in order to do that. And the granddaughter flew the plane, the grandmother flew the plane, they have pictures of them flying the plane. They got all of the tips and guidance that they needed to go back and now pursue both of them becoming pilots. We hosted the event at Pima Air and Space Museum because of the incredible aircraft and just the symbolism associated with flight and Girls Fly, but also because it was an offbeat venue that kind of juxtaposed girls and femininity and being featherweights in some people's eyes with this heavy machinery. It's right there that we can build, we can fly it, and there's no limit. So that was, you know, that's one small example. We had equestrians, phenomenal equestrian experiences happened across town. So they are one-day events that offer hands-on tools, contacts, resources, and tangible experiences that make the dream come true that day and or move the attendee in the direction of securing their dream, no matter what level it may be.
It sounds like after that day, having had that experience and having had such a personal and active connection with the experts in that field, that they're probably also given some direction on where to go to take the next level for themselves. That level of support is crucial because, as you said, that one woman who kept getting discouraged, she had the opposite of that support. And these girls and women go away with profound support.
Exactly. There's nothing else for me to add. They left with profound support.
Fabulous.
And I should put it in the present tense. Right now, we don't have the schedule for the next Girls Fly events, but the intention is to bring it to every market that this Sylvia Global broadcast is in and to add this other dimension of support that takes the messages that are heard on Sylvia Global into a tangible, real-life experience that reveals the entire world as our classroom that has unlimited capability of making it quite possible for everyone to touch their dream and to be supported in doing so.
So this is something that you hope will spread and will have a life of its own, I think.
Exactly.
Tell me a little more about the other options. Equestrian, you mentioned equestrian, and of course you described the flying really beautifully. What is the range of categories?
It's pretty amazing. There were close to 30 different subcategories listed under those four. So we had performing art. We had mothers and daughters, granddaughters, nieces. We had children from the foster care system that we intentionally reached out to. We had young ladies who were a part of the newly arrived immigrant communities there that had survived some incredible experiences. Upon arriving in the United States, they had been in war-torn countries, stayed in refugee camps in Kenya, and then eventually here in adjusting in the United States. Well, and they were also Muslim. It turned out that Ann Lovell, an incredibly generous donor, made it possible for a master artist from Kenya who was also in Tucson being promoted at a major sculpturing exhibit throughout the botanical gardens, at different banks, throughout the greater community. His sculptures were just being displayed, these life-size animal sculptures that were made from recycled materials. Well, this Kenyan master artist also made himself available for Girls Fly. So the first destination for those young ladies, because they had enough time to do two events. Most of the activities, there was only enough time to do a morning event and then participate in the general afternoon session. They ended up going to his master artist sculpting session where he gave them hands-on training, and added to that hands-on training, he revealed to them how God is able to create beauty from broken pieces. And they were able to capture, while they were making their own sculptures with this master Kenyan artist who was from the same continent and country where they had spent parts of their life in pain and brokenness, to create and to see something new come forth while they were sculpting it and listening to his words. They caught the magic and the power of understanding that he was also speaking to them as they created a new life here in the United States. They then went from that to a writer's session. There were women and girls that always aspired to be published writers or to just write in general for themselves, but struggled with, how do I do it? Where do I go? How do I get my voice on paper? How do I get my voice out there? How do I connect? Well, we had Cindy Perlman and many, many others fly in at their own expense and do a writer's session. We had, and tell them exactly what they needed to do, give her, you know, hand out their contacts, make themselves available on the website as well. We also had people that aspired to perform in the vocal arts. So we had Crystal there. She was one of the first seasons of American Idol. She was a runner-up. She came and did a voice session with women and girls and talked to them about, you know, finding their musical voice, but also finding and staying connected with that deeper voice within, and then how to reach their goals as they, if they so aspire to professional level. She spent, you know, the whole morning with them. There were many others, but she comes to mind, and they're all on the website. The equestrian piece, absolutely phenomenal. Different types of experiences for each group, depending on which stable they were at. We had people, guests that signed up, girls and women, that signed up because they always wanted to do something with horses but never had access to them, but they just felt called and knew that they would enjoy doing things with horses. And then we had others that had gone through great trauma, and these young ladies primarily had been in the foster care system, and they had to be grouped together. But we grouped them and provided the supervision while their group home mother was given a chance to go explore her dream. And we believe that if you have support within your environment at home, then you can be the support to one another to keep going. So these girls had an equestrian experience where they took the horses. They were with the horses and with Peggy Wagner, who basically is a horse whisperer, you know, kind of is a term a lot of people might now be familiar with, but it's not, it's so much more, where the girls and the women engaged with the horses to reveal their own grace and their own strength and the power of what they can do with an animal from a place of gentleness, and blew their minds. We had others that went on canyon runs with horses down into canyons and caves, you know, with horses, and others that were with just learning how to ride, you know, how to saddle, how to ride, and how to care for a horse, how to get a horse, what you do, just a wide range of experiences.
You know, I'm realizing as you talk that these dreams that we all have within, I bet every one of us has a dream that we didn't take action on simply because we could not figure out how to do it. And by its nature, a dream is bigger than what we know how to implement in the moment. That's why it's a dream rather than simply an extension of what we're already doing. And I'm really impressed that what happens in Girls Fly is that people don't have to, girls and women don't have to know how to implement their dream. They don't know how to make it happen. They sign up with Girls Fly, and Girls Fly does that part for them. And then they're off and running.
They're off and running. They set sail. Yeah, that's the entire premise behind it, is to keep believing and to keep fueling those dreams at all ages. And, you know, it's the power. The power is in the magic of believing, and then not being afraid to keep believing even when you don't know how to get it done. And then to come to an event like Girls Fly and walk away with the tools and the resources and the contacts and this room, this entire day filled with of a kindred spirit that are joined together by a dream, you know, adds incredible fuel. And the responses we've received since then indicates that we're onto something. When we bring that dream forward in people's hearts, they will respond.
Yes. Well, I want to wrap this up, but I want to mention, I imagine you also have a category for athletics.
We had Olympians there. We had, quite a wide range of athletic categories, every level from the couch potato who's always dreamed of doing a marathon but didn't know where to begin because they didn't think that their body could do it. We had opportunities for them to meet other former couch potatoes and get walking that day. We had people that always wanted to hike places that are right there in the communities that they had never gone to, like beautiful Sabino Canyon. And we took experienced hikers who love hiking, and it's that enthusiasm, their passion that they were able to share. They got women up and out into a place internally and externally that they had only imagined possible. Well, that day it happened. And it ended so much quicker than they realized because they were deeply engaged in, you know, just being hugged by the power that comes from being with other people with similar passion.
That's what it's about. That is powerful.
Thank you so much, Marcia Nelson. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about Girls Fly, and hope we get to do it again soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you.